Thank you so much for joining us pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and we are in the Allstate Showcase studio. Coming up in just a little bit, the legendary Steve and Johnny are joining us, and I'm kind of excited to introduce them to our Tuesday night regular guest, one of our favorites, John Tatey, who has a... Steve and Johnny just came in the studio behind you. It got very strange, John. Come on in. And Esmeralda Leon joins us in studio. This is the first time we've done it this way before. There's a lot going, a lot of moving parts in the building, so...
Right.
We're
slowly getting shoved into the Showcase studio.
It is. It's very. I know. Is it weird to not have your own room? Your own.
No.
Traffic hut.
I've usually always had my own room since I was the youngest kid. So, but it's okay.
Don't rub it in.
I can share.
Don't rub it in. How's Nick gonna feel having you right here for traffic?
Oh, I'm sure he'll be perfectly fine.
It's all good. John Tatey. It is strange in the building, isn't it?
It feels kind of empty in here, doesn't it?
I'll show you the... Oh,
I was so eager to get back into the Showcase studio, and now I feel a little naked in here.
Do you a little bit?
It's not the usual accoutrement.
My lamps are gone. They moved my lamps to the... I don't know if they moved them or if they were discarded, but yes.
You're right. The lamps are missing. I got so used to the... Patty would usually bring out a couple of lamps that looked like she got them out of a bordello yard sale or something.
Why did everyone always call them the bordello?
That's just what they look like.
What is the house of disrepute?
House of ill repute, I think.
Or disrepute. You see how I was running right up to it and realized I didn't have the words and I committed to the wrong ones.
Yeah, we
got teamwork. That's how it is. Steve and Johnny joined us in studio. And this is weird, isn't it? Because
parking is weird.
Weirder than you know. But this is the first time in the now 32 some odd years we've been coming and going from this place that we had to find a public parking place.
Yes.
I left breadcrumbs, though.
Did you? Oh, we had to go back. I'll drive you back to your car. I'm not in the WGN lot. They're not allowing us to park here, even though the people who work in the building, including like the, you know, all the janitorial services, mm-hmm. the Tribune is still here. They're all still parking. So I'm not sure why, but mine is not to question
why. The word
why.
Hate comes to mind.
You say they hate us? Yeah. It feels hateful. It does. Do you get a chance to watch a lot of series? Because we haven't talked too much. John Tatey and I, and I would say John more than me, is very up on what's the best current shows. But he is also, I would say, a savant when it comes to primarily quiz shows, game shows, but also TV shows in the past. I would say from the 70s on, or are you also in the
60s? I'd say that's about right. 70s? I mean, I know 60s stuff. It gets a little hazy going too far back, though.
Well, hazy, like you don't remember it? You don't remember anything from the 70s either.
Well, no, I don't. But
if you're born
in
the 60s, you don't remember.
Exactly.
But getting back to the sort of father knows best era gets a little fuzzy for me. Yeah,
I would say.
I'm kind of fuzzy on that.
Steve, do you watch a lot of TV?
Yeah.
Have you watched the Cobra Kai? As you know, I've been endlessly telling people they would enjoy.
No,
we haven't seen that yet.
Did you ever see the movie Karate Kid?
I like how we put that. Yeah,
yet.
Very diplomatic.
Yes. Yeah. He's leaving it open to our suggestion because...
Well, for example, we just tuned into something about a week or so ago that we hadn't seen previously, mm-hmm. and we absolutely loved it. I think it's called Splitting Up Together or...
Oh, yes, this is mm-hmm. a sitcom.
What a great show.
Yes, it's
smart.
It works on multi-levels.
Yeah.
A very cool show.
So what's it on?
ABC. On Tuesday nights,
and you'll find
Wednesday.
Yourself saying, "This isn't cable, really?" Because they kind of walk that line.
Oh yeah,
I actually stopped it and said, "Did he really mean that?" The 14-year-old boy.
And then there's the question of: is it about the couple that is divorced but living together because of the kids, or is it about the kids, or is it about the ex-husband and his new girlfriend, but the ex-husband wants to get together with his ex-wife, or
Ooh.
Is it about the ex-wife who the ex-husband, in a moonlighting moment, just found a guy she was dating? So
I don't know. Engaging.
In a car.
In moonlighting, they used to say boinking.
Okay, then that works.
All right.
I love the moonlighting reference.
Yes, and I love how like charming that sounded. Boinking.
Boinking.
Yeah.
Well, when you're in a car, there's a lot of that head nodding. You know.
I don't miss those days. It seems
what?
Like,
in a car.
What are you
in
talking?
A car?
in the back seat.
There's
of
so
car?
Many bad jokes. There's so many bad jokes. Bad jokes right now. One of them is there's just not enough headroom. More after this on 720 WGN. We are talking. classic television. Is it classic television we're talking about, John Tatey?
We are talking about classic television. Can you name that show? That
this is the Andy Griffith Show. Yes.
Also known as Mayberry RFD in its later years in syndication.
Was it with just Barney Fife?
No,
that was just a different name that they gave to it when they syndicated.
There was no Andy either.
That's right. Later in the Andy at the end. Yeah.
I can't whistle.
Hey.
Okay. Which show?
I'm not laughing. I like it.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I think I know which show begat Mayberry RFD.
Tell me.
Or
was it the Danny Thomas Show?
Well, actually, that would be the Andy Griffith Show.
Well,
was born from.
That's right. The Andy Griffith Show and Mayberry RFD. We're talking about the same thing. But the Andy Griffith Show. Wasn't it like sketches he would do on the Danny Thomas Show?
Yeah.
And then it became the Andy Griffith Show. Yeah.
There's a great. Have you ever seen his Andy Griffith's material, like a stand-up comedy? He has this great thing about football players. It's mostly storytelling, and he's so charming. It's much more of a country bumpkin kind of a character that he used to do. Really, take a look on YouTube for some
Bob
of the videos.
Collins used to play. What it was was football.
Yeah. And what was that great movie that Andy was in? That
it's about a candidate, isn't it? About a political candidate.
Man with a
no.
We have this on tape somewhere at home.
Bleep.
Oh, bleep! I like that you swear with
people
actual
are shouting
word.
At their radios because they're like
yes. And if you are, by the way, shouting at your radios, if you are a TV expert, we're looking for a couple of players for my classic TV quiz tonight. Tonight, Patty, I'm going to be, for the contestants to call in, I'm going to be giving them three episode titles from a classic show, and they have to tell me what the show was.
Wow. Right, so like, let's say, I don't know what's on your list, so I don't want to give people an example of a show title. Here, 80s, okay. One of my examples is on your list.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I know which one, I bet. Yeah.
So some series have very specific and consistent ways in which they describe a show.
Right.
Whereas other ones, and I think like one of my favorites, and again, I only look briefly, so I don't want to give anything away, but 312-981-7200. If you are enough of a TV expert, you can tell us the name of a series based on episode titles.
Mm-hmm. Right? I need two players.
At least two players. 312-981-7200.
Not at least, please.
At least.
We end up with so many players, I had to run out of questions for them.
Only two players.
Only two.
We're only taking two contestants, Michael. 312-981-7200. And we do have gift cards from Apt Electronics, our good friend Steve Shapiro.
Yes.
Yeah. I actually have a very full prize. Did you ever get into this thing where you just didn't get around to giving away prizes?
Yes.
What? How did you solve that? Like, John's like, I have like two things a week that I consistently.
We would eventually get around to saying, if you could answer this particular question, you could have everything on the prize list.
Wow.
That's good.
And we had like a three-page prize list. Literally. And remember, we would actually read the prize list fast forward because it took so long.
In fact, there was Bob Collins was horrible about this. I did kind of a Wolfman Jack imitation.
Mm-hmm.
He had me record a Wolfman Jack listing every item on the prize list that he would give away to one caller.
Oh, God. Yeah. Can you imagine?
Really?
Oh, sure.
Or sometimes he had me do it as a U.S. 30 drag strip thing.
Yeah, the Sunday.
And coming up on the prize list.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. We do. We have a couple listeners calling in right now. So as soon as I have those ready to go.
Are we going to jump right into it?
Do you want to jump right into it?
Yeah, sure.
Let's jump right into it. So and here's the problem, Steve and Johnny. And since you're all in the room, you'll get to watch us firsthand. As he reads the titles, I'm like, I know the answer.
Oh, yeah.
So I have to.
Good.
I have to turn
and
the microphone.
And I promise not to shout it out either.
That's okay.
We got some players in the studio tonight, so I like that.
Players.
I've gotten
very close to ruining the game for everybody. But I won't ruin it for Denise. Denise is calling from Indiana. How are you doing tonight?
Yes, I am. I'm doing wonderful, and it's wonderful to hear Steve and Johnny on the radio.
Thank you, Denise.
Hello.
And I love to hear Steve when he was on WJOB. Which will bring back
you've been with me for a long time.
Yeah. I love fans like you, Denise. Hold on one second. I'm going to bring in Barry, who is calling from Wheaton. Hey, Barry, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Good to hear you again.
Excellent. Okay, so Denise, do you feel feel very confident in your TV knowledge?
I feel confident. Not sure. Oh, very confident.
Come on, commit.
Okay.
Commit.
I'm gonna commit. I feel okay. That's it. I'm doing okay.
All right, Barry. How confident are you with your TV knowledge?
Well, you know, I'm more of a 70s and 80s guy.
Okay.
So if it goes back a little further, I might be okay at that, too.
This could be a good quiz for you, Barry. We'll see.
I like this. All right. Take it away, John.
Okay. So here's the game, guys. I'm just going to give you three episode titles, and you'll have to name the show. Denise, I'll have you go first. So on round one, you have your pick of 1970s sitcoms or early 90s sci-fi. Which category do you want?
70s, definitely 70s.
70s sitcoms. Okay, here are the three episode titles. Blood is Thicker Than Junk, Lamont in Love, and Fred Sings the Blues. Those were three episodes of what show, Denise?
Jefferson?
Oh, I'm afraid it is not the Jeffersons. Ooh. Okay, I'll give it to you, Barry. I'll give them to you one more time. It's Blood is Thicker Than Junk, Lamont in Love, and Fred Sings the Blues.
Yeah, now you know.
Barry?
What it is now.
It's got to be Sanford and Son.
It is Sanford and Son. That's a point for Barry. Well done.
Well done. Well done.
All right, so one for Barry.
Okay.
Yeah, my heart hurts.
I know.
I know. We knew Denise knew it, but yeah.
I was trying to channel it to you too, Denise. But you know what kept blocking me?
Barry.
Nick DiGilio kept blocking me because I could hear him saying, "Severed is on."
Okay. Barry, so it's early 90s sci-fi as your category. Here are the three episode titles.
Okay.
Q Who, Deja Q, and Cupid. Mm-hmm. Those are all the letter Q. Q Who, Deja Q, and Cupid were all episodes of what early 90s sci-fi TV show?
Oh, jeez.
No.
I don't know. Star Trek Next Generation.
That is correct, Barry.
Oh!
You pulled it out.
Whoa!
Yes.
Yeah,
it is. Q was a recurring villain on Star Trek The Next Generation, and they would often have little puns for episode titles when he was going to be on. So, Barry,
wow.
You dominated round one. It's 2-0. Denise, come on.
Lucky guess.
We're moving right on to round two, Patty. We got time for round two before the news?
I think we have time for round two. Yes, we do.
Okay. Round two. So, Denise, I'll let you pick first again because you're trailing just slightly.
Because I'm the loser.
Yeah. That's, so far, hey, it's just the beginning of your story, Denise. Let's see where it goes. You get your pick of 1990s sitcoms or early 80s romance comedies. Which category would you like there?
Golly, that's difficult. I think we'll try comedy again. Even though
the sitcoms, the 90s sitcoms?
Let's try that.
Okay. 90s sitcoms. Here are the three episode titles. The One with All the Kissing. The One with the Dollhouse. The One Where Joey Moves Out.
Oh, sorry.
Listen to the name in one of the titles.
I know it.
Okay, let me give them to you again so we can kill a little time for you, Denise.
Yeah, we're yelling at Denise. I'm sorry.
The One with All the Kissing. The One with the Dollhouse, and The One Where Joey Moves Out. I think the people out on Michigan Avenue are even screaming it out as we...
Oh, I know that. Oh, it's a family. I know it was three guys. Yes.
No.
I need an answer, Miss.
It's not all...
Michael is ruthless.
90s sitcom.
Who's the boss? I know that it is not.
It is not who's the boss. Barry, it's your opportunity to steal here. Do you know?
Yeah, that was Friends.
It was Friends. Wow. Friends was the show. Patty referenced this earlier obliquely.
Oh, okay, Joey.
Joey. That was the... And every episode
I heard Dollhouse. And I went, yeah, it's Friends.
Wow, very good. Every episode of Friends, aside from the pilot, began with The One.
The One.
That's neat trivia.
Every episode.
Okay, it's 3-0 for Barry. Barry, you can extend your ridiculous lead.
How many rounds do we have?
We have one round after this, but maybe we should play
with Tina. Okay, let's tease Barry for after the news. Barry, Denise, can you hang in there?
Sure.
Denise, I'll make it worth it.
So we're going to save Barry's round two question for after the news. Is that what we're doing?
Yes. That's great. Right.
Of
yes.
course you're going to hang in.
Yeah, Barry's not going anywhere.
No,
you too. You too, Denise. I promise.
Okay.
All right. Stand by, everybody. We're going to take a break here and then the news in just a moment on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Showcase studio with Steve and Johnny, John Tatey, Esmeralda's here, and so is Michael and David Jennings is in an undisclosed location. Sometimes you want to go where everybody... Oh, man. Cheers is one of the great TV series of all time. No, yep. You don't like Cheers?
It was a standing joke in our house. I hate that show. Those people are so unlikable. And I would laugh. And he'd say, but you're laughing. I'm not. You know, it was the thing in our house.
Literally, every time she was, I don't want to watch it, and she'd be on the floor laughing by the end of the show.
I have to say, it was one of the reasons I didn't like Seinfeld. I just thought they were so unlikable.
I despise that show.
And I mean, I'll laugh at it when it happens to be on, but I'm not. I don't go out of my way for it. John, you look like you're like burning, like searing.
But wait, he's outnumbered because we actually had a producer that was going to quit our show because we didn't like Seinfeld.
Oh,
Steve Buckman loved that show so much that he would book cast members on our show. And we got, really? I got to talk to Bryan Cranston, which after the fact I realized was really cool. Yeah. Because he's the dentist. You've got to talk to the dentist.
That's too funny. I'm the same way. If I'm not emotionally invested.
I don't like those people.
But I loved Night Court. Anyway, those aren't the shows. Well, I hope I didn't ruin anything.
No, there's no Night Court on the quiz.
Okay.
So when we left off, Barry was leading 3-0. As we headed toward the end of round two, Barry hasn't even gotten his question yet. But Denise has been fighting valiantly.
Let me recap a couple things, though. One of our listeners in Wheaton says that iTunes skipped the answer to the kissing guy answer. She said it was on the tip of her tongue. So, that was Friends for anyone who missed the answer from the last round. And I also want to thank
Did I not say it?
You did, but it skipped on iTunes. Like it kind of dropped out.
Screwing up my game.
It was Friends. And the listener from 331, thank you so much. We were asking, what was that movie that Andy Griffith was in about
Facing the Crowd.
Yes.
Facing the Crowd.
It just what is there in the universe that when somebody is about to say something, all of a sudden it will pop into your head?
Oh, really? Before I said it, you were like, got it. Yeah. Yes, that's wonderful.
Pride.
Yeah, that's
a great
pride
movie.
Mm-hmm. So Facing the Crowd. Thank you to the 331. Okay, continues.
So we're going to give Barry a second question, and then we'll see where we stand. So your category is early 80s romance comedies, Barry, and here are the three episode titles. You name the show. This is an early 80s romance comedy, Pride of the Pacific, Isaac Gets Physical.
Mm. Oh, Love Boat.
Oh, he doesn't even need them all. He's just showing off now. That is correct, Barry. It is the Love Boat.
No, it's Love Boat.
Love Boat.
Come on, Us.
Julie was a cruise director. That, or that, like the... I remember that.
It's too late, Denise. It's too late.
I know.
Well, Barry, it's 4-0, so we're going to call the game there. And we have a wonderful prize for Barry. Do we have any lovely parting gifts for Denise? She was such a delightful contestant.
I absolutely have a parting gift. Do you have any... I'm going to give you some choices here, Denise. Do you have any kids in your life that you would like them to have something cool and educational?
No, I've got a lot of children when I'm in school, but no, not at this moment.
Well,
no.
Good for you. This isn't something for you for work. We want you to have
something
for yourself.
Denise, since she's been with us for so many years.
Hey, we have a Steve King and Johnny Putnam present Life After Dark CD recorded live in the WGN studio.
And Denise, it's a collectible on eBay. You can sell that for $40. So it's all yours.
Oh, good deal, Denise.
Live performances by people like Delbert McClinton and Rick Nelson's sons and Susan Tedeschi before anybody knew who she was.
And Denise, you've been with us so many years, you probably remember the nights that they were on the show with us.
No kidding. Yeah. Really. I really do enjoy hearing you guys again, and I love WGN. So thank you again. And it was a great joy. And Barry, congratulations. Well done.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, look how gracious our players are. Excellent.
Light categories.
Wonderful. So we will get the CD out to Michael. We'll get the information from Denise to set out the Life After Dark CD.
We'll be in Indiana next week. Let's just drop it by.
There you go.
I love it.
We'll stop by for coffee.
And then for Barry, take a photo. We need a selfie of that moment. And for Barry, we have an apt gift card. They've been pleasing people since 1936. Visit their store in Glenview or online at abt.com and say hello to Steve Shapiro for us when you stop by out there. Thank you both. Congratulations. You both. That was a fun game.
And aren't the people who play the TV game often so nice? They're all such good sportsmen.
Kind of absurdly
nice. Sportswomen.
Let's see. Let's give Kevin and Rita a chance.
The night is young. Wait a minute.
That's right.
Kevin, how are you doing tonight?
Very good. How are you?
Very well. Where are you calling from?
Bridgeport.
All right. We got Bridgeport on the line. And Rita, you are calling from Roselle. Is that right?
That's correct.
All right.
From Roselle.
There we go. Get Rita Roselle.
The erotic journey from Milan to Minsk. That's a Seinfeld reference, and we were talking during the break about how nobody in this
I will not
studio
know that
cares
reference.
For Seinfeld. We'll move on. Yeah. Okay. So you guys are going to get one question each. It's the same game. I'm going to give you three episode titles from a classic TV show, and you have to tell me what the show was. And if we're tied after one question each, I've got a tiebreaker for you. We'll start with you, Kevin. Kevin, would you like your category to be 1980s action series or single-camera comedies of the 2000s?
Wow.
We'll go single-camera comedies of the 2000s.
Okay, here are your three episode titles. Top Banana, The One Where They Build a House, and Bringing Up Buster.
Arrested Development.
That is correct.
Wow.
Well done, Kevin. Yes, Top Banana, reference to the banana stand, of course. The One Where They Build a House. I tossed that in there because it was a little joke at friends' expense made by Arrested Development. A very meta TV show at times. Great comedy. And there's a new season of it on Netflix right now, in fact.
You just blew my mind.
Yeah, I'm check
pleased.
It out, Kevin.
I am not pleased with the cast and how they treated Jessica Walter. But continue.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So unlike you to latch on to the latest controversy of the day, Patty. But yes, that was an ugly interview, wasn't it?
Yes.
Moving on. Okay. Rita, your category is 1980s action series. Are you ready for this?
Okay.
This is for the tie. A Knight in Shining Armor, Deadly Nightshade, and Killer Kit.
Rita, you know this. The answer is right there in all those titles.
All right, let's take it easy on the hints here. I'm in the game.
Hey.
It's a TV show.
Knight Rider
yes! is correct. Well done, Rita.
I was rooting for the girls.
Okay, so we need a tiebreaker. Right, Patty?
Dun, 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 dun.
Okay. You're both going to get a chance to answer this question. Whoever is closer will win our prize, which is?
Another gift card from Apt Electronics.
Oh, it's a nice prize. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the reality show Survivor premiered on CBS on May 31st, 2000. How many episodes has it aired since then? Kevin?
Wow.
You're speaking of individual episodes.
Individual right? episodes. That's right. I need an answer quickly, Kevin. No Googling.
130.
Okay, Rita, what's your guess?
Ooh.
God. 95?
This is going to astonish you. There have been 540 episodes of Survivor.
Oh, my God.
No.
No, oh, I've been living under a rock. No pun intended.
You know how many episodes I've seen of that?
Zero.
Not a single, like a maybe like
how
clip
many have
shows.
I wanted to
We're
see?
We're right there with you.
Yeah.
Zero.
It's a good
After
show.
The first one where the gentleman went without clothes and
that's right.
Yeah.
Richard Hatch.
I stopped watching.
Richard Hatch ended up in prison for tax evasion because he didn't pay the taxes on his Survivor jackpot prize.
Because he didn't want to pay taxes on his clothes, so, you know.
That's right. Rita, get in the studio. You are livening up the night, but I believe that Kevin was closer.
Yes.
Yes, he was.
By 400.
Congratulations, Kevin.
Well, Rita, don't go anywhere. Now, Kevin has won the gift card from Apt Electronics.
Well
and
done,
Rita,
Kevin.
Do you have kids in your life that you would like to give a gift to? Or because I have something else for you if you don't want that one.
No, I don't have children in my life. They're my great nieces and nephews, and they're all different ages and
who needs
all different interests, so it would be difficult to choose something appropriate.
Let me send you a Lumel Nadi's gift card then.
Great.
Yeah, and if the kids are over, you can have some pizza with them. Otherwise, forget about it. So enjoy your pizza from Lou Malnati's home.
Everybody's happy again.
Exactly. Home of Chicago's deep
dish.
Can I
say one thing?
Yes.
I'm having surprise major surgery next week, and I've been trying to be in the most upper mood possible. And you have just sent me to the top.
Oh,
so my way.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. Well, we wish you the very best, and we look
Good
forward
luck.
To hearing. Yes,
thank you.
We look forward to hearing from you afterwards.
All right.
And that gift card, hold on the line so Michael can get your information. And Kevin, you've won the gift card from Apt Electronics.
Thank you. Can you give it to her? You know, please. Thank
I know, right, Kevin? No, you earned it. You earned it.
It's yours.
Oh, that was really. See, they really are. They were even.
I
they
love
were even
the
nicer.
Radio. This is why the radio works, isn't it?
Tonight, yes. Thank you, Kevin. Hold on the line. Steve and Johnny, I'm sure, can tell you plenty of stories.
Who was the TV person that she sounded like when she said, "Woo"?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That was not. Again, You're supposed to fill in the blanks. That's what mm-hmm. you're here for, Steve.
My mind is blank. but while you're thinking, can I share a close encounter of the Knight Rider kind?
Oh, yes, oh, please. Yes.
Can we tease it for after the break? Otherwise,
sure.
Michael's head will
explode. Oh, yes. Sure.
Yes, a Knight Rider teaser from Steve. More after this on 720 WGN. Thank you so much for hanging out with us pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. We are live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Just wrapped up our battle to the, it wasn't really to the death, but a battle.
No,
to,
it was just the opposite.
It was very charming.
I felt like everybody won.
Well,
and
was on the floor.
We're all going to brunch together. You know, it's like, oh, I love you.
And all of our contestants who competed in that, congratulations on your prizes. And before we went to the break, Steve, because Steve and Johnny are in studio, have an event coming up that we'll talk about in a moment. Esmeralda joins us in the studio. Poor David Jennings all by himself over there. Yeah. But you were mentioning, Steve, that you had a night Rider encounter.
A close encounter of the Knight Rider kind. Johnny and I were in Panama City Beach, mm-hmm. and we went to a mall in Panama City. And was it Dillard's or JCPenney's?
It was Dillard's.
We walk in, and I don't know what the deal was, but they had this special exhibit and the original kit
Ooh.
From Knight Rider, the car. This incredible Firebird was sitting on the floor with its lights and sounds and things.
And she started talking.
Yeah.
Oh. And it was like, okay. And Hasselhoff was nowhere to be found.
Just Kit.
And who was the voice of Kit?
It was
Mr. Feeney.
Mr. Feeney. It was Mr.
yes.
Feeney.
Yes.
Whoever he is.
Yes.
The guy from Magnum P.I. The one without the mustache.
That's right.
Mr. Higgins. Mr.
Higgins.
William Daniels.
William Daniels. Yes. See, collectively, we've all got one mind.
We can cobble this together like nobody's business.
You started, I'll pick it up.
I think I'd rather see the car than Hasselhoff, wouldn't you?
I think, for sure.
I think
so. Because we were at the beach, that could have gotten interesting.
Not sure which one's had more work done on the undercarriage there.
Now, John, do you have any suggestions for us before you take leave of us?
Yes, I happen to, Patty.
I wrote down John had something to say.
John had something. Yeah, I have a TV recommendation for you. I don't know if you've seen Solo, the Star Wars movie.
I have not.
But Emilia Clarke is in it. She's a Game of Thrones star, sort of breaking out into a different role. I wasn't that impressed by her. And then I went home and I watched this TV show that has Natalie Dormer in it. She's another Game of Thrones star. She stars in Picnic at Hanging Rock. Picnic at Hanging Rock on Amazon Prime. It's an Australian series, and it concerns a handful of girls who disappear from this strange finishing school in the Australian bush. No jokes, please. Around the turn of the century, like 1900.
Is this based on a true story?
It's based on a 1975 film
that was
based on a 1967 novel that is based on a true story.
Interesting.
But It has surreal elements. It's a sort of disconnected story. You have to be a little patient with it, but I'll tell you, Natalie Dormer is wonderful as the headmistress of this odd school. And this girl, I'm going to mispronounce her name because I've never heard of her before, Inez Curro, that's my best guess, plays this young girl, Sarah, and she's this otherworldly presence. An amazing performance by this young actress who I've never seen before, Inez Curro.
All right. I will take a look at that.
I recommend the
Hanging
movie.
Rock.
The movie, too.
The movie is excellent, directed
really
by Peter Weir.
Yes.
Really, that's how Peter Weir broke onto, I think, the international scene with Picnic and Hanging Rock, the film. A great piece of Australian cinema as well.
I feel like I get assignments when you come in, though. It works out very well for me, things that I need to check out. Because we do this as with Susan Dannenberger. We do assignments for TV series to binge and uncork.
Oh, right, yeah.
So I cannot remember what we assigned her this week. I probably should find out.
Have you assigned her Cobra Kai? Because, boy,
yes.
You did do that. Okay. That wasn't just for me.
Oh, no, I can't stop with it. It picks up 34 years after the end of The Karate Kid, pretty much.
Oh, cool.
And it's through the eyes of Johnny Lawrence, who was the bully in the movie. And it's just so much fun. I will say there is one person so far that has told me they disliked it, and that would be my mother. So it's too stiff. I mean, and she likes she likes Peaky Blinders, which was from as had recommended
stiff,
that one.
Stiff, she said it was?
Yeah, the acting was too stiff and all that stuff.
Huh.
So. Mm-hmm. More after
I
this.
I can't get on board with that.
I'll call her right now and see why she didn't like it. More after this on 720 WGN. I'm so thrown off. Is it New Year's Eve already? That means it's Steve and Johnny are on the air.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Steve hurts himself every year with the noisemakers.
I don't want to. As in our time, I think we have some of your stuff, like all the hats and things, like in the China. Those are coming with us on the move.
Good.
Some of the top hats and
the lays,
yes. Good. The tiaras. Yes, I think I was raiding that stash for my own New Year's Eve party. I'm like, I wonder if any more of that stuff is here.
Oh, come on. It's for everyday use.
Exactly.
Thank why you. Who doesn't want to wear it? I'm like, really? We got to wait?
Why do you have to wait until the end of the year to wear a plastic top hat?
Exactly. You want to look festive all the time.
Or crazy. No one will mess with you if you're walking around with a top hat.
Exactly. That's a good strategy, actually.
If that's all it took, I didn't even realize. Can you go grab me one of those plastic top hats? Steve and Johnny joined me in studio this Saturday, June 9th. They're going to be celebrating what would have been Les Paul's 103rd birthday with an appearance and book signing presentation at the Woodstock Public Library. And after the presentation, there's going to be a screening of the Les Paul movie, Chasing Sound. And there's going to be some great birthday surprises.
Yes.
This is so much fun.
It's going to be a fun
time.
It's
going to be fun.
Well, you know what was what made Woodstock famous? It sounds like what made Milwaukee famous. No, it wasn't beer, but what made Woodstock famous?
Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
My son wants to, and I shouldn't put this out there because he has an idea for a movie script. As I showed Esmeralda, he wrote a book. It's about almost 160 pages long.
Oh, my.
And it's about dolphins evolving to be able to communicate with humans directly. Mm-hmm. And so he has another idea kind of based on the Groundhog's Day movie. So
has he ever seen the movie with George C. Scott?
No. What's the movie?
Day of the Dolphin?
Yeah.
Oh, The Day of the Dolphin.
Yeah.
It communicates. Oh, no. Is he lifting an idea from a script?
This is how they talk to each other.
Oh, really?
Ma!
I'm not going to tell him because then he'll feel like he's copying. It's better that he does not know about it.
It's a great movie, though. George C. Scott is wonderful in that movie.
I have to take a look.
Day of the Dolphin.
I love George C. Scott.
And talking dolphins. Come on.
Yeah.
How can you go wrong?
Really?
Esmeralda's like,
Well, I'm just, is he hanging out in the ocean or are they on land?
He's a scientist and he's training them. So they get to the point where they look at him and they go, pa, pa.
Oh my gosh.
That sounds frightening. Is that a horror movie?
No.
It's dolphins talking to you.
And they're not Disney dolphins, so they can't walk on their back, you know, their tails.
I'll have to take a look and see if I can compare that to Griffin's book. But yes, so Groundhog's Day made Woodstock famous.
Yes, mm-hmm. And the Opera House.
Do you think that, in the Opera House.
The Haunted Opera House.
What?
The Phantom of the Opera House.
Yes. Have you encountered any phantoms?
No.
We know of performers who have.
Many performers who, with a stone cold, steely look in their eye, will look at you and say, oh yeah,
I feel like a lot of theaters are haunted.
Yes.
You always hear from people, you know, whether it's backstage managers and things like that.
But theater people are so superstitious anyway.
And dramatic.
God bless
you think?
Yeah.
I'm surprised we haven't stirred anything up in the, you know, the gutting of this building that
there was. When we first moved in here, there were some horrible things that happened.
What happened?
Well, this used to be the Fannie Mae candy store.
Yes.
So we used to.
I know. I shouldn't be so excited that it used to be a candy shop, but.
Well, all of a sudden, you would smell chocolate wafting down the hall.
Seriously.
I said, wait a minute, the ghost of Fannie Mae.
And this went on for at least the first year and a half to 2 years after we'd moved in.
It was almost nauseatingly strong.
Really?
And they didn't make the candy here. They just sold it here. But all of a sudden, you'd get, whoa, chocolate.
Did anyone try to ever explain it away? Like, oh, well, trapped in the walls. But why would it be?
Yeah, I was going to say, did they stick it in the walls and just leave it there?
Oh, yeah.
Like meth. Rotting chocolate.
You know, meth gets in the walls. Chocolate gets in the walls. Blummer's chocolate was not very far away.
Right.
So they would always say, it's Blummer's. You know, they're making chocolate in the middle of the night. No, it's only in here.
Right.
It's not out there.
Right. If you go outside and you don't smell it, you're not going to smell
very
it.
Very weird.
That's so strange.
And then Colonel McCormick would walk the halls. I know this because to save money, they would turn the lights off in the halls. And I'd say, could I have one light to get to the bathroom at night? You know, 2 o'clock in the morning, you run down to the bathroom. It's like dark. And I'd say to Steve, if I'm not back in 5 minutes, come and get me, please. okay, honey, I've got a record queued up. Don't worry if you don't get back here. It was that scary to me because it was dark. And I come running back in, and I'm out of breath. What's wrong? And I say, I swear to God, there was somebody walking in the halls, and it wasn't security. And so it became Colonel McCormick was walking the halls. And
what?
Yeah, it was creepy.
Were there other people that reported sightings as well?
Yeah. Oh, cleaning ladies.
Oh, sure.
In Polish. They were like, oh, excited. And they were trying to, in English, tell you scary man. And I said, I know. They don't know. I know. I understand you. Yes.
We did a little bit of ghost hunting with our friend Scott Marcus. And he had, like, you know, equipment to sort of pick up sounds and stuff. Security. We asked security if there were some stairwells we could go in. And one of the security guards said, I'll walk with you, but not in one of the stairwells. He refused to go in because he said that there was stuff in there. So.
But did you ever go into one of the seven layers of basements?
No.
Yeah.
Well, where the tracks are, there's like tracks where they used to move
seven,
the paper.
Seven.
There's seven of them?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know.
Notice not six, not eight, but seven.
I didn't know that.
I don't like this at all.
You're leaving
one
soon.
Basement. One basement is enough.
I know.
Seven, though?
And I guess we should explain that years and years ago, before they filled in a whole bunch of stuff, literally, some of the boats bringing newsprint used to be able to pull up
underneath here. And then the train tracks were put in so that it could go to the Freedom Center back and forth. And there's some really creepy things that happened around here. You know, right across the river, literally down the stairs and across the river.
The Eastland disaster.
The Eastland disaster occurred.
Well, you know, Oprah never wanted to talk about the fact that her studio was a morgue. And so she wouldn't let anybody do any ghost hunting in there or anything. There's a couple places that they don't want to talk about it. There's a comedy club in one town I visit, and I actually asked if I could submit them for, you know, Ghost Hunters. I used to love that show.
Yeah.
And because a couple things. One, a comic actually passed away in the club. He hid when they were closing up, and he drank himself to death. He choked on his own. Yeah. And so there are, of course, rumors that, you know, people always would feel things and, you know, weird stuff would happen. So I asked if I could submit them for Ghost Hunters, and they said absolutely not, because our customers don't want to come to a club. There are a lot of people who won't go to a place. Yeah. It's not a draw for a comedy club.
Maybe not for a comedy club, but we talked many times with Richard Crowe, a legendary Chicago ghost hunter, who unfortunately is no longer with us. But there were several clubs in the Chicago area,
Excalibur,
the suburbs.
Because of the fire.
And it was actually an attraction for some people. Yeah. They wanted to be, and they would say, okay, am I going to hear any weird noises or see any weird things? So on some levels,
sure, for
it
some
works
places.
For you.
Yeah, I think for some places.
The Water Tower place.
Is that haunted too?
Oh, the Water Tower. You see the hanging man there.
What?
Yes.
She's so casual about it.
How long have you been living here?
Yeah, you see the hanging man. What are you talking about?
Wasn't there something over by ABC? There was a theater there. There was a fire.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Iroquois Theater, where the big fire happened, and as a result of it, we have the laws that we have.
With fire
exits. Doors
exits.
Have to push out so that you can get out instead of being trapped inside the building.
Which changed a lot of safety codes.
Yeah, sure. I grew up in a house in Old Town that was haunted. Of course, no one believed me until I moved out of that house and I picked up the Tribune one Sunday, and there on the front of the paper was my house. Now, all my life, I begged people to believe me that the house was haunted, because I'd stand at the top of the stairs with my bicycle and I would just let it roll down the stairs. Ain't no way I was going in that basement, because it was evil.
Wait, you just throw your bike down the stairs?
She was afraid to go down.
I would.
Sure.
And Johnny had told me about this for years, and I thought,
picked up the Tribune.
Until Sunday Tribune, and I'm opening it, and I said, oh, wait a minute, isn't this what you told me? And she said, yeah.
Who bought the house, they embraced the evil.
Embrace the evil.
Well, actually, their little boy communicated well with the spirits, which I did not communicate well with, and neither did my dog, because my dog was
freaked out.
Totally.
Sure.
A mean animal when it sensed that there was evil in the house. Look, my heart rate is increasing. I swear, this is really weird. Because as a kid, I would say to people, it's haunted. They go, you can't read any more of those monster magazines. What were the
Oh, famous monsters, creepy.
And I was always making monster models. That was my thing, you know, only child. Sniffing glue and, you know, making models and
Tales creating your own world. Yeah. Oh, yes. Tales from the Crypt. Yeah.
Tales from the Crypt.
So you remember the movie that was made of Tales from the Crypt?
Yeah, I do.
Do you think they targeted you? The ghosts?
I think so.
Considering no one else could.
No one else believed me. And it was 20 years later. And they were like, oh, yay, it's a haunted house. And then all of a sudden people were rushing over to my house. And I thought, you people don't know it's evil.
So the people who moved in after you, they embraced it in the sense they gave like tours?
They had a little boy. Uh-huh. And the little boy seemed to enjoy this entity that I found so terrifying. That's rooms in our house that I never, ever went into because I was so frightened as a child. And our dog would stand in the doorway.
Sure.
When a dog does that in an empty house, you take that as a sign.
Doubt about it.
Did they find out what it was?
They really didn't. There was a dirt basement. Come on. Who has a dirt basement?
You guys are trying to freak me out. Yes, we hired an ambulance to go by just now.
That's the production values that have gone up since you guys left.
You got a budget on this show.
Just saying.
That's my other fear. Ambulances is so great. Thanks, Iz.
Oh my gosh, is that funny? Oh man, that is creepy music.
That's terrible.
Michael has an instinct for these things. He knows how to go right to the core of a
moment. I'm not looking at my show. I'm afraid he's wearing a mask or something.
That's Michael.
I have to hurt
him. No, but his head is spinning around.
I so want to see that new movie, Hereditary. And
I heard Michael.
Nick says it's frightening.
It's like the best movie of the year.
But it's very
scary.
People
are comparing it to a modern day Poltergeist.
Ooh. No, Exorcist.
Or Exorcist. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Ooh, interesting. Because about a third of Poltergeist is good. I mean, what were you going to say?
I know Poltergeist was filmed at Water Tower, and as a result, all of the people in the movie died. And
Well, they were all supposed to be cursed. The older daughter from the first movie
Heather.
Was murdered. And
I'm talking about little blonde.
The little girl died in the third when they were filming the third movie. She got very sick. Yeah. I think she had like a kidney.
She did.
A chronic kidney problem. Yeah. Speaking of movies, I can flip this back around to less scary unless people call and tell ghost stories as well. But we have a couple questions. One, we were talking about Woodstock, which is where Steve and Johnny will be this Saturday for what would have been Les Paul's 103rd birthday. They have an appearance, a book signing and presentation at the Woodstock Public Library, and there'll also be a screening of the Les Paul movie Chasing Sound. You can follow Steve and Johnny at stevenjohnny.com and find them on Facebook, it's Steve and Johnny Show. And to order A Little More Less, go to A Little More Less. That's less with one s.com. Again, A Little More Less.com. Or you can call 312-912-8639. And we were talking about Woodstock, and someone said we were talking about Groundhog Day and a couple other things about what makes it
the
famous.
Haunted Woodstock Opera House.
That's how we started. See, I'm trying to go away from the haunting, but you keep bringing me back.
I know.
So we'll continue that as well because I want to talk about that. But Woodstock also had trains, planes, and automobiles for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Woodstock was also the home of Chester Gould, who created
Dick Tracy.
Dick Tracy.
And worked in this building.
Yes.
What? He did. Yes.
See how it came full circle?
Yes, because our friend Max Allen Collins worked here with Chester Gould.
Is he also a ghost here?
Okay. No. More after this on 720 WGN. Freaking everybody out. This Saturday, you can catch Steve and Johnny at the Woodstock Public Library for their celebration for what would have been Les Paul's 103rd birthday. Now, I have to say this just as a cross promotion. If you can go north to Woodstock and hang out with Steve and Johnny, or if you happen to live in central Illinois, but you have plenty of time to get from their event down to Mason City, Illinois, where I'll be performing at Mason City Limits. You do. You have time because it's
okay. If we start at 1 and you start at what time?
I start at 8 o'clock at night.
Okay. Easy.
Like so 3 hours.
Easy. Yeah.
So I say, you know, you guys, I think you do a WGN tour. You start in Woodstock.
Kind of like a progressive dinner.
Yes, I like that.
No, we're not feeding people.
No. I might have some trail mix or something, maybe some M&Ms to give
just
people.
Just progressive entertainment.
If you show up in Woodstock for their event and then come down to Mason City, I will give you a bag of peanut M&Ms. Unless you're allergic, and I'll give you regular M&Ms. Or maybe, I mean, there's some, I could find something else
in my
purse.
And if you're rude, I'll give you peanut M&Ms.
Exactly. But I'm going to be at Mason City. City Mason City Limits. It's this great little comedy club in Mason City, Illinois. It's about 30 minutes from Springfield, and it's this great town. There's like art galleries there, some great restaurants. Wow. It's a really sweet town that I'm excited to be heading down there for. And of course, being the Abraham Lincoln dork that I am, you know, I'll be at the Presidential Library hanging out and looking at all the items that they might have to auction off. You know, they're having trouble paying the Abraham Lincoln items. So we go buy, give him $5 or something, see if that helps.
Buy a hat.
I'm gonna buy a hat.
Stove-top hat.
I have so much Abraham Lincoln paraphernalia from their gift shop. I'm like, oh, it's for the, you know, what, hats and t-shirts.
What attracted you to Abraham Lincoln?
When I was, I'm a history major. So my area of focus in undergrad and graduate school was actually the antebellum South and the role of women in the antebellum South.
Cool.
So it was kind of a roundabout way. I was fascinated with the idea of states' rights before the Civil War. And during the Civil War, you know, South Carolina was one of the first states to pay the wives of soldiers to hope that they would stay home and they would not just stay home, but maintain the farms or the plantations or their shops and not beg their husbands to come home and drop their arms. Because a lot of Confederate soldiers were going AWOL and just going home because their wives were like, we're starving. We can't run the farm. We don't have enough money to keep this going. So the idea of welfare, when you think of like states' rights and, you know, take care of yourself and bootstraps and everyone for themselves, the idea that we all have to sort of come together and help each other in order to keep this whole thing going. So anyway, to answer your question about Lincoln, studying. My mentor wrote the book In My Father's House Are Many Mansions, Professor Vernon Burton, which is about Abraham Lincoln and his relation, like his idea of religion, which actually is not very directly. If you read it, he always kind of skirted his religion, his religious beliefs. And there's a lot of debate, obviously, as to what he believed in terms of racial equality. You know, you can find one quote to fit your sort of context of President Lincoln. He was a very complicated man, and that's what I'm drawn to. Mm-hmm. And especially after the election with President Trump and seeing how visceral we are toward each other, there's so much of that is very familiar in the history of our country and the time of President Lincoln. Because have you been to the Abraham Lincoln? We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Esmeralda is here and Michael Heidemann's here and Steve and Johnny here. Steve is wondering what's going on Michigan Avenue. I just tweeted at these folks that run a Twitter page called Chicago Scanner, and they generally will tweet out like what's going on. But they these are not anywhere near us. It's one is this moron is in custody, which is they put hashtag poop CPD says, but they didn't say poop. 324 West Chicago, loud music from a bar. 4218 North Sacramento, armed robbery with a male in a purple backpack last seen. But I'm not getting anything. So I tweeted at them and asked if they're getting anything at Michigan Avenue and the river or Wacker.
Yeah, because it looks like is it both police and fire, or is it just police and ambulances? Because it's like all across Michigan Avenue on the south side of the bridge.
I'm going to bring it back into the studio for a moment while we continue to watch the flashing lights out there. When I was first put in the studio in 1986, when this opened up and Traffic Central was in here, because the whole idea was the talent did not want to be in the Showcase studio so they could have weather and traffic up here all the time so there would be some activity. I had a wall of scanners I had to listen to.
I can imagine.
6 to 8 scanners.
What?
So I had to keep my headphone off one ear and listen to 6 to 8 scanners while I had programming in my right ear, and I'm opening my microphone to talk. And then when I'd open my microphone to talk, I'd have to put my scanner headphone on so I could listen to the scanner while I'm talking to the host. And I'm like,
how does your brain work like that?
Okay. You know, terrible things are happening and they're talking in code. It's a 20, you know, and so you're hearing, or I turn it up really loud and then the host could hear it bleeding through the microphone. I'm like, I can't help it. It's a really big story I'm working on. But that was how we got traffic at that time, was you had to listen to the scanners. And I was telling you guys off the air about the wall, the Allstate, Chicago's Good Hands skyline there. That used to be the lighted map wall.
Right.
That was the $65,000 wall that was actually hooked up to the sensors in the highway. So I could look up there, and when an accident happened, I could see it just like that on the wall because it would turn red. Then you would see the backup, and I could use that to kind of fill out my traffic report.
reports, but it also meant that people would come up to the window so that they could see what their traffic was like right. before they got to their car. And so that was kind of exciting. And it made the room about 15 degrees warmer than the rest of the building. So I'm sitting up here fanning myself, looking very menopausal in my 20s. You know, like, you people don't understand. There's sun beating in on me, you know, and I'm in this hot room with... But it was really kind of fun because it was my domain. Where you're sitting on this side over here would be where the weather person would have to sit and do their thing.
So, and the host would be in that big studio where Milt.
No. The host would be when they came in here, when Bob Collins was in here, would be right where that
wall that built out.
Right,
and they have there to walk was actually upstairs. A podium. With a higher
so
area.
So funny.
So that
like a judge?
Well, actually, that allowed we traffic and weather people to sit at their feet. And so that we could stand up and say, hello, I have something to say. It was kind of a running joke because obviously I was working with Steve as a host, so I got to sit up there and we would do shows together. We hated doing shows in the studio, though, because when you did shows with, like Kathy and Judy did shows together, you could not see each other to communicate. So you were always sitting sideways so you could read each other's faces so you didn't step on each other. And that's important.
And Johnny and I, for years, we always liked sitting opposite each other so we can, get eye contact.
And he could tell if I'm lost in thought or if I need a word, you know, and that way you're not, there's nothing I hate worse than people stepping on each other.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm glad that Ez is down. I don't know why we never thought about it or I even asked to have you in the same room because if she's on the screen, I'm like, okay, right, Ez. You know, it's like one of those things where out of sight, out of mind. And
we have our, you know.
I know, but I.
To take care of the little hut.
But I know you have to be in the hut. And now your hut has like a whole wall of glass, doesn't it? So now you're like in the newsroom.
Golly, we've come so long.
So I'll just wave at people.
Yeah.
When Traffic Central first came inside WGN Radio, because up until 1985, it had never been in the building. It was always outside because we had traffic helicopters that landed on Bradley and we had the police officers that flew.
Right.
So we didn't need anybody in the building. If the weather was bad, those guys would either go to a public phone and call in traffic, or they would wander into the building. And people didn't even really know them by face because they were so rarely inside the building. So when I was hired, I was told, you're going to bring Traffic Central in the building. This is your job to establish Traffic Central. And I said, oh, great. I remember I went home and I said, yay, I got this wonderful job. Where's your office? They said, well, we don't have room for you, but there's this closet.
No.
So I literally was in a closet. I was in a closet on Bradley Place.
And I'm trying to think.
It was a storage closet.
Oh,
people
man.
Would come in all the time, need paper and supplies.
You see where Michael is? It was about maybe a quarter
It was so tiny.
Of the size of that room.
Yeah.
If that.
So when I moved here, I was like, yes, this is my aquarium. Oh, that's right. People can see me.
All right. Now you're like on display.
Yes. And the bad part about this was I actually petitioned for wardrobe money because I felt that people
should be able to see me. Yeah.
Then I should see it. But there was a stipulation. If you wear, again, this was 100 years ago, if you wore clothes for work, you were not allowed to wear them outside of work and take it as a tax deduction. For example, if a man wore a suit on a telethon, Steve, bought a tuxedo, he couldn't wear it outside.
The pockets had to be sewn up.
So that you knew you weren't using it for personal
use. That's right.
Interesting.
As if the IRS is going to come out and say, are those pockets sewn up? Because
Hold on a second, let me get a needle and thread. Come on, one second. You mentioned the helicopters. There was actually there was a radio host that I would listen to and stopped listening to one day because their traffic reporter was Robin Baumgarten, and there was a helicopter crash in another town, and he kept playing the audio of it, kind of teasing her about it and all this stuff. And I was like, I can't, I can't listen. No. Yeah, it was. But do you remember she was a traffic reporter in the helicopter?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was so excited to see her. I'm like, she's on TV now.
Yeah. Oh, she's wonderful too.
And doing
And she's so beloved. I mean, that's the thing about Robin is that
she's herself.
She is. She's us. She's a Chicago gal.
Yep.
You know.
Right. Right.
I didn't realize she was a Southsider. She was living briefly up by me, and I was like, oh, hey, Robin's in the neighborhood, and they're like, she's moving back to her neighborhood. Fine. Do you ever see Paul Conrad's pictures on social media? It looks like he has like a loft. Like I've always dreamt of having one of those big loft apartments where it's like a big open floor plan. I live vicariously through other people's pictures.
You've got no place to hide stuff then.
That's a good point. That's okay,
fair. We have to have rooms where I can close the doors. Like, we had a repairman at our house today, and I'm like, closing doors. Oh, my God, I don't want him to look in there. Because if he does, he's going to say you're a terrible housekeeper.
It's funny that you say that. I have a very small apartment, mm-hmm. and I, when I, because I have, you know, it's three boys and me. Yeah. I have my husband and two boys, and we have a, I mean, Ez has never been to my house, and I'm trying to fix that. I'm slowly bringing my family onto the same page as to have guests over, and our first guest that's regular, if ever, has been Elliot. But and Elliot has had to come. He's like, when he's come to pick me up, he's like, can I use your bathroom? I'm like, do you really have to? Like, that was the first time. And he came in and it was terrible. I mean, like, just a complete disaster. And so I figured, well, so what I do is when I want the house to be clean, I tell the boys that Elliot's coming over and they'll clean the house. Only now he's such a regular guest that they're like,
oh, it's just Elliot.
It's just Elliot. So I had to bring another guest. So as you have, you and V have to come over for a movie and a pizza sometime. Okay. I'll have to have you guys over in my very small apartment. But my bedroom is finally someplace I don't have to close the door. I mean, like, my, the dresser's a little bit you know, a little bit of a mess, but I finally have, I can see the floor, and that was not the case for, I know, I, it's,
oh no, no, my place, at least the bedroom, it looks like a hamster's nest.
That's, yeah, mine's
just clothes everywhere. It's ridiculous.
Well, because I would come home in the middle of the night, right, Steve's asleep.
Sure.
So I take things off and I put it on a chair, and then I don't put it away the next day, and then another, and then the chair doesn't, you're not in a room, and and then Steve's got the boys taking care of all their laundry, so his laundry builds up. So it was, I was doing a conference call one time, and my writing partner, Amelia, was like, we were Skyping, and she goes, hold on a second, what's going on in your room? She goes, I need to send you money for a maid. I'm like, my husband does not want people to come into our house to clean. Do you guys?
They want to clean it first before they get there.
Right?
Clean.
Right.
Yep.
Exactly.
And I'm right there with her.
And then I hurt myself. Yeah. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
And then I feel so judged. And they look at me with such pity.
Yes. Like,
they've been there before. They know that you've hurt yourself trying to clean the house. And
yeah. Yeah, my mom lives downstairs, so she will, one time we forgot that she had a cleaning lady coming that she had offered to have then do our floor. And so she, okay, Patricia, the ladies are here. It's like from downstairs, and I'm like, what? And we're like running through the house trying to get like clutter out of the way, because you have to make a, you have to clear the path for them to be able to clean something.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, now you guys can come to our house anytime, because we have a 2-flat apartment building, and my folks lived on the first floor, and now it's just my dad. He is the best cleaner. He is so good.
But does he clean your place?
Well, no.
I was going to say.
No. See,
but if you come to our house, it's dinner downstairs.
Well, then I can say,
there you go.
I'm like, come. Welcome.
That's right.
Oh, your house is so nice. Isn't that great?
Mom, are you listening? I know you listen to the podcast.
Yes.
This is my, she's like, oh. They're inviting people to my house again.
I know.
Whenever we need, like when we shot our documentary for the Oprah Winfrey Network, it was a show called My Life is a Joke.
Uh-huh.
We did all the footage in her apartment. Like, we cleaned the basement for the playroom for the boys. And we did all, like, it's me and Steve at her dining room table with my calendar. And I'm in her office when she comes in. My mom comes in this scene. She goes, Patricia, I have an idea for you. You should wear purple. It makes you look tall and slim. And like that, we have a video of my mom. Yeah, it's, but I do the same thing.
Yeah, it's great.
For the public, it's in my mom's place.
I have a show apartment and then I have a living apartment.
Yes.
But see, my excuse is creative people are messy people.
They've done studies on this, Steve.
Yes.
Because we've got, I've got a music room that has tons of guitars and other stuff. Then our office has computers and books. And then
books.
Other things filed alphabetically according to size.
Yes.
And it's
and whatever
because,
it takes.
And I, you know, we periodically need this stuff for the other things we're doing.
No, we were asked to do a morning television show, and they wanted it. This was Bob Surratt was doing a thing called In Bed With. So they wanted to do In Bed With Us.
Right.
And I remember we came home, and at that time, my mother said, you will not get in my bed.
That's so funny.
I'm sorry.
Funny.
So
you go to your own bed.
We got in touch with the people. This was up in, was it Waukegan? No.
You borrowed someone else's bedroom?
The Sybaris.
Oh, come on.
So the camera comes in on us, and you see this swing above the bed.
Yes, and we did this whole thing straight face. Straight face. We had like a halter hanging from the
like a basket, like a
yeah.
Oh my,
and
like
yeah. And
cables.
And I brought I have a puppet collection, so we had some puppets around the...
and newspapers on the nightstand, and then the bathtub was filled. The cameraman was great. He was in on it from the get-go. He thought it was brilliant, because Surratt did not know that this is where we were going to be. So they start the close-up.
This is brilliant.
The bathtub is as big as... The bathtub as long as the bed next to it, with about a six-foot pickle in the bathtub.
Because I have a six-foot pickle.
Yes, you do.
And so I said, I'm taking my pickle to the zippers. And I did. And
Mark it. That was at 12:50.
So my pickle's... Surratt realizes by now that...
But for about the first 3 minutes of the interview,
he's like,
the hell?
That's quite a pickle you have there.
Did you end up in the tub? You just glad to see me.
Wait, we had a can of Crisco next to the pickle.
Yes, we did.
Yes, we put a can of Crisco next to it.
Did you guys end up in the tub at some point?
No, we were sitting in bed with like...
We need footage of this. You have to have video of this.
Actually, we do.
We do.
We need to see. We need a screening of
that. There were moments where Surratt is like, what's that behind you? He was afraid to ask.
Sure.
And then the cameraman pulls back and he sees this basket hanging overhead. And Surratt's like, camera down. We don't want to know what that basket is all about.
This is amazing. So he's in the studio watching all of this. Yes. I love that.
So this was kind of a great gotcha. You know, you want to do in bed with someone? We'll give you in bed.
Wow.
And of course, the guy from the Sybaris was giddy.
Absolutely. Yeah, I just drove by. I'm curious about the Sybaris. Let me take a break here because if you don't want to tell me on the air, I want to find out your opinions of the Sybaris. More after this on 720 WGN. We're hanging out in the Allstate Showcase studio. It's the whole family's here. Esmeralda's here. Michael Heideman behind the producer's glass. Steve and Johnny in studio. They have an incredible event coming up on Saturday at the Woodstock Public Library. You can catch them at from 1 to 2:30 celebrating what would have been Les Paul's 103rd birthday. They have an appearance, book signing, and presentation, and then you can catch a screening of Les Paul's movie Chasing Sound. Go to steveandjohnny.com or find them on Facebook, Steve and Johnny Show. You can also order A Little More Less at A Little More Less with one S, don't forget, .com, or call 312-912-8639. Again, that's 312-912-8639. More on 720 WGN. We are hanging out pretty late in the Allstate Showcase studio. Esmeralda Leon's traffic hut has been shut down for the night. She is in studio with us. Sorry about that.
I've escaped.
It's a traffic shack. Traffic shack. For me, it's a traffic shack.
Okay.
And for because Nick, that's it's a different.
Right.
Yeah. You have to move and everything. And it's like a tiki bar when I think for the traffic shack. No?
I just turn everything.
Yes.
Everything's reversible.
She's in studio with us, and you can also find Steve and Johnny in studio with us. You can watch us on the live stream, WGNradio.com. People have questions about the new news studio and what those things that look like statue heads, those are actually fans. They're working on the circulation and ventilation over there. And Steve and Johnny have a great event coming up on Saturday in Woodstock at the Woodstock Public Library starting at 1 o'clock. Are you going to be bringing this new food and treat? You can't feed everybody at the... You guys are... You have a new food love.
Yes, we do. It's Real Good Food is the name brand. And I feel like we need a ding, 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 ding. You know,
And everybody knows that I'm on a gluten-free diet. I have to be. And this is gluten-free cheese pizza.
Oh, you can get other pepperoni
you can get other
and sausage.
Kind. But the crust is chicken breasts. And it's wonderful.
It sounds so meaty. I mean, this sounds...
It's not.
Okay.
You know, Lou Malnati's for a while, and they may still do it, but they also do...
Oh, they do all
rice.
Meat.
So it's like a half inch of sausage.
Right.
And sometimes that gets a little much, like you start craving...
But now
a
Lou's has a really
they
good...
They have a rice crust, yes.
Rice crust, yeah.
But this, you don't know it's chicken. It's really weird. I don't want to know how they made it
like
that.
Real good food. And this is great for folks, for one, who don't want carbs, but
exactly.
In particular,
so,
people who are gluten-free.
A personal pizza is like 2 carbs and 220 calories. And it really satisfies a craving for pizza.
It's wonderful.
And we found
it. Really
it
is.
You're getting hungry right now.
Oh, yeah.
You?
I am so excited. I think we may be...
Walmarts are sold out. That's how popular it is. Flat sold out because I did a search because we found it in Florida. And so I did a search in the area. Walmarts were gone. Target were gone. But we did find it at the vitamin shop If your vitamin shop has a little freezer chest,
right.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they're carrying in the freezer chest is the real good food, enchiladas and...
Oh, they make the enchiladas too, because yeah. Poor Amy. Amy's going to be squeezed out. She makes those...
Oh, hers are the best.
Yeah, Amy makes some good burritos and like and her Indian food.
Oh, yeah.
Really good stuff.
Yeah, and her mac and cheese. There is no gluten-free mac and cheese or vegan mac and cheese that is as good as that. But don't get the vegan by mistake and
it's, no cheese. Okay, the cheese is a little bit. The
it's
fake
a little
cheese.
Grainy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Leaves a little bit of an aftertaste. So that's real good food. Let's talk more food because I need to find out more about the Princess of the Pickle Packers of America and the peanut butter pooba after the news. 312.
This was brought to you by the letter P.
Yes, I love that. And I think Michael should throw his tiara in the ring for the it's a the princess. Well, I think Prince. I think that we need to. Yeah, we need to get him a sash or something.
Okay.
The pickle. The Prince of the Pickle Packers of America.
I'm in. Yeah.
Oh, now I know why I can leave my pickle to you when I die. You'll be the only one to appreciate it. I've often wondered who will get my pickle when
so
I die.
It's been worth coming to work tonight, Michael.
Yes.
What an honor to even.
Oh, he's actually blushing.
Thank you for commenting on that. People don't realize Michael is a quick blusher. Yes, you are. You will be bestowed the pickle.
You know what? I'm not even going to wait till I die. I'm bringing it to you next time I see you.
Wow. Yeah. This is great. Anytime pickles are mentioned, yeah.
Right, because then you can have pickle conversations. You know, if you're gone, you
can take it on dates.
The one thing that I'm missing on my dates is the 6-foot pickle.
You know, you just...
Have you ever tried to dress the pickle? A hat, a little jacket.
Okay, before we all lose our senses, let's pick up where we're leaving off with the Pickle Packers of America and the Princess and the Prince and the Peanut Butter Pooba. Give me some P words and I'll have at it. Oh, it is our last hour for our show. I got to clean up in a little bit because Nick D will be up at 1 o'clock. Don't forget, he's got Back to the Future at the Rosemont AMC Theater it's on June 12th, so that's on next Tuesday. I love that movie.
You have to see it on the big screen.
Oh, I haven't seen it since I was a kid on the big screen. I'm super excited. Are you going to be able to make it for part of that?
No, I can't. I have to be here.
You have to be here. You get here at 10?
Yeah. So I'd be there for half an hour. Right. I'd have to go.
How about like an hour? Do you want to see an hour of it and I'll drive you down? We'll see. We'll work it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you ever seen it on the big screen?
I have not.
Oh, golly.
But it would suck to see half of it and be like,
I think you should phone in that first hour from the back of the theater.
I like the way this is working out. Yeah. See the traffic reporters.
I think that's fine. Traffic's good. Okay, bye.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You got a phone. Look it up.
Now, let's look at people relying on that. You're listening pretty late. Joining me in studio is Esmeralda Leon. We also have Steve and Johnny. Steve and Johnny, of course, on the air here at WGN Radio for more than 26 years.
Yeah, it was 27 when we left.
27.
In fact, we were talking about our houses, our apartments being so cluttered. When we left, we had 31 office boxes. You know, those boxes you get at Office Max and you make the lids and you can carry them. And well, we had 31 of those with our stuff and we still have those 31 boxes.
What kind of stuff? Is it all like just things
it's
you accumulated?
Books, and yeah, well, 27 years worth of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we had a pretty big office. For years, we only had one desk because I said, I don't want a desk. I want a couch. So I got a couch.
Thank you. That was my office.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't have a couch anymore. But
because I figured, you know, if we had one desk, we could share one desk and one couch. We shared that too. Hurt ourselves, but that was okay. Because sleeping, you know.
Sure.
Two people sleeping on one couch. I had to go to the emergency room one morning because... After we took a nap, I made the mistake of sleeping with my arm over my head. And when we woke up, because, you know, exhausted, and you just get into this really deep sleep. And I woke up and remember my arm wouldn't go down. We had to go over to Northwestern.
And I think
they had to shake my arm back.
I think we'd slept there because there was going to be like
a meeting
at 9 in the morning. See? So we got off at 5, went back and grabbed a couple hours
to
sleep.
To get enough room, I put this arm over my head and it had pushed my shoulder out of. And he wouldn't take my arm like they do in the shows and, you know.
Wrench it back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want to take that chance.
No.
So I'm like, just put it back into place. And everybody here at the station for the meeting is like, not me. No. There's a hospital down the street. Go. I literally could not drop my arm. How'd it get that way? I don't know. We were sleeping.
It's just, that's painful.
And because it had dropped over the back of the sofa and over my head.
Right.
And so it was stuck there.
It was in a position where the muscles had just.
Yeah. Oh, it was so painful.
Did you go to the meeting and then the hospital?
No, I went to the hospital. They held the meeting because they knew it would be quick. Seriously, they called ahead and I walked over there and they took my arm and like when you're playing the game with a rope.
Sure.
You know, the, you whip it. Yeah. You whip it and whip it good. So
Are we convinced that that's real medical sort of
Somebody was waiting in the parking lot. And was willing to whip it, and then they did. And I came back to the meeting.
Fine. Did you have any lasting pain in your shoulder, or was that
the meds were really good?
Oh, there you go. See, that's
they also had meds waiting. Mm-hmm.
But the 31 boxes Johnny was talking about—that's a lot of the material that is going to be in our next book.
Yes.
Like I 31 boxes.
Memorabilia and things.
Yeah, so. Because we put pictures up on our bulletin board, and you know, tickets and playbills and stuff like that, and so. I wanted to throw it all away because that's the beauty of our relationship. I throw everything away. He saves everything.
Yeah, that sounds a little bit... Well, I would say I throw more away. I love that... what's the cleaning up, the getting rid of clutter?
Marie Kondo?
You thank something for its service. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't bring you joy anymore, you throw it away donate it.
That's why I'm giving my pickle to Michael.
It doesn't bring you... Your pickle doesn't bring you joy anymore?
I've already gotten enough mileage out of it.
Okay. Yeah. Michael, I hope the pickle brings you much joy.
Yes, I'm honored by the pickle. This is a big
moment.
He so
reverently pulls his hand and goes, thank you.
Michael, can you see the Pickle Packers of America is an organization we can still contact? They were in St. Charles. We need to contact them because...
And didn't they have some annual parade or something? Was it Max Armstrong?
No.
I wanted
there to be a parade.
Was a parade.
No, please don't tell me that all these years later.
I'm pretty sure.
They didn't invite me? Because my relationship with them started when I worked in the Fox Valley, so their headquarters were in St. Charles, so they heard me selling pickles, and so that's how that happened.
Was a parade, they would have to invite you. You're the pickle princess.
No.
So there was no parade.
No.
There was never a parade. We'd get drunk, we'd get pickled before. Maybe we did have a parade, I just don't remember.
I love the idea of that. And you were the peanut butter pooba?
The peanut butter pooba.
And he used to make us kiss his ring, which was really weird.
Yeah, well, your point is.
Was it a peanut?
It was.
I don't know what's happening.
It's a diamond the size of a peanut.
But I forget what the occasion was. It was when we were doing a Sunday afternoon show.
Yes, because we did Sundays. You know, we did 6 days a week when we first started, which is insane. But we were in a union, so we got paid for that 6 day. Big time! Paid our mortgage. When you have two people...
Tell me more about this.
That'll be in the book.
And it was a short turnaround, too, because we'd be on from like... Noon until four.
And because we came back at midnight, the union said, oh, that's a short turnaround. You have to pay.
Actually, we came back at 11 o'clock sometimes.
You have to throw lots of money at them. Yeah. And they said, oh, please.
And we said, yes.
Hello.
Throw us in that briar patch.
Yes. Yeah. Give me a catcher's mitt. I'll take care of that.
And it was also fun to do Sunday afternoons because that's a whole different vibe than overnights. And so we could do a lot of cross-promoting, things that are going to come up on the show if you listen on Sunday afternoon.
And some of the times when we'd be out here, and some movies would be shooting out here on Sunday afternoon because there was less traffic.
Backdraft was one. But then at night, we had a lot of movies that were shot because remember when the activity was going on the bridge that reminded me of the night that they sent me out on the street when The Untouchables was being filmed. And they said, she'll go out there because nobody will yell at the blonde when she walks out, right? So engineering, we had engineers overnight. They wired me up. And I said, okay, Steve, I'll be out there. I'll be reporting. So I walked right onto the bridge, not knowing that Brian De Palma was in a basket, the director, hanging over the Chicago River with a big old camera on his shoulder.
Yep.
So I go sauntering across the bridge, and I've got my microphone. I've got my ID hanging around my neck. And he says, hey, Blondie.
Oh, dear.
You're shaking the bridge. I was devastated.
With his megaphone.
And you could hear it on the radio. I was like, oh, my gosh. I just shook the Michigan Avenue Bridge. He's like, get off the bridge.
Thanks for making me feel like I'm heavy enough.
And then I must have said 1,000 times, he was in a basket hanging off the side. That's why it felt like it was shaking. Not like a CTA bus just rolled over.
Yeah, exactly.
Over,
you're like, thanks for nothing, director.
Really?
Wow.
Blondie, get off the damn bridge.
Oh, man. So those moments you're like, hi, can I just be invisible? No? Can I,
right.
It was director yelling
Remember
at me.
Costner was here and Sean Connery and all those guys that were outside the window, which was cool. And then the Batman movies were filmed downstairs.
Yeah. And the Fugitive, I would imagine.
Yeah.
The Fugitive. And was it the Fury?
That was out at
they shot out at Old Chicago, but there was also some scenes shot
down
right here underneath
because it was so dark and creepy down there.
Yeah,
that was in the late 70s.
Do you guys remember Old Chicago, or are you too young for Old Chicago?
The indoor amusement park?
Yeah.
Yes, I vaguely remember. My dad would tell me about it.
I think it was gone, but there's pictures of my brother.
So scary.
I lived in Bowling Green.
Was it scary? What?
Because you're inside.
I thought it was a fun amusement park.
See the Fury sometime, because that's the scene when they're on the roller coaster and it's all
and
dark.
The kid suddenly makes the roller coaster go flying off.
Yeah. Okay, so then don't have someone mind knock off the roller coaster.
Yeah. No.
Other than that, you're good.
Yeah, there you go.
That had to be bad for business.
They loved it.
That Old Chicago, they loved.
Of course, it went bankrupt shortly after.
I was going to say.
But I saw some great concerts out there.
I did too.
Tree Dog Night.
Mm. I saw Dr. John. I saw John Mayall. And again, it was creepy in there, though, because it was like you're in a club, but you're in an amusement park, so you heard people screaming and kids running around and people eating cotton candy. And
did a couple of the MDA telethons out there,
right,
too.
That was a big deal.
Yeah.
They tried to make it go places, but it was cornfields all around it at that time in Bolingbrook.
You know, isn't that funny to think of?
Yeah. And now it's like traffic. It's everywhere.
Well, my dad would always tell stories about Riverview Park.
Riverview.
I can't remember the ones where the bobs.
The bobs
was one of his favorite things, and the
parachute.
Yes.
And the rotor, the one where you would stand on the side and it would swirl around, and centrifugal force would keep you up against the wall.
Oh, that's the worst.
That's like a Great America. Do they still have that? It was called the cliffhanger, where you would stick to the wall.
Wasn't like some New Orleans jambalaya inspired thing.
It was like that rubberized wall, and I always was afraid that someone would puke and it would whip across.
I went in it and I didn't stick.
No,
I somehow
I'm
did
sorry,
not
I
stick.
Got very upset
Oops.
For you.
I started sliding down.
Yes.
The thing's going, and I'm like, what's happening? Why? What? And I just started sliding. I was like, this can't be. Science is supposed to help me stay up.
Was it like your clothing, like what you were wearing?
I don't know.
Didn't stick to the
Everybody
wall.
Else was sticking, and I was just starting to slide down the wall.
That's not a good feeling.
Yeah, it was frightening.
So you were right. Actually, it was called the Cajun Cliffhangers.
Yeah.
So we were both right. The Cajun Cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm. And in the year 2000, somebody actually lost a foot. So I'm glad that she stuck on the wall.
That is why I don't go to amusement parks.
Can I go to Great America? I got season passes.
I'm good.
Yowza.
Someone says it was called, the Rotor?
It was the Rotor.
At Riverview?
At Riverview.
Yeah. The Rotor.
Aladdin's Castle is all I remember, because that was, again, I'm back to the
scary
stuff.
And even as a kid, I thought Aladdin was creepy.
You go in that guy's mouth?
I mean,
well, you what?
Going in people's mouths.
This is big Aladdin, Dad.
Bound to be weird.
Walk in there, little girl. No, I don't want to go in there.
Come in my mouth. Oh, wait, that was weird. No, I mean, welcome to my mouth. Wait. Welcome to my mouth. Enter my mouth. None of that seemed weird. I'm going to be honest. That one got away from me. Here I was going to share okay, never mind. Let's take a break and reset. Reset mark. Mark it. 118. 34
I don't know
seconds.
These women.
Yeah, you do. The text screen is lighting up with all the people who are very excited to have something to send to Nick D's out of context. You go in a guy's mouth and come in my mouth should be on Nick's Straight Out of Context Friday morning from the 630. I just looked up Steve and Johnny WGN show. I see I missed the first 2 hours, so I'm glad to have the podcast. Thank you so much for texting us, and people are very excited that you're on the show tonight.
Don't let children listen to the show.
They would have to. It's
about time we educate them. Right?
Yeah.
And, get with it.
And we weren't being subtle.
Yeah.
But I didn't mean it.
I
that
think
way.
They need to know about that Aladdin's head.
Yes.
there we go.
I showed Esmeralda a picture. She goes, "What? Really?"
I could imagine.
It does seem terrifying. Yeah.
And there was just a grittiness about Riverview. I know they'll probably take away my Chicago girl card for saying this, but I think you either loved it or hated it. And to me, it was too scary and too gritty. By the time I was going, it should have been closed down. No. I did go to Riverview roller skating rink. That was a very big deal.
Where was the Riverview?
It was right next to the park. So the park had already closed down, and I was still going to the roller skating rink. It was great.
What year was that?
Great old. It was throughout the 60s.
Hmm.
A wooden floor was all warped and wobbly and was made for great roller skating.
For those not familiar with the area where Riverview Park used to be, it was right behind Lane Tech, where you now have the Mariano's, the Jewel grocery store. The Toys R Us is about to close over there, but in that area, that whole...
So when you went to
school... Isn't that where they're building that new overpass?
There's no more.
There's no... Yeah, they
got rid of it. Yeah, they got rid of it.
It's all smooth. And then Fullerton's kind of this weird sort of jogging...
Was it a shopping center then when you were going to Lane?
Yes, it was. And we never went over there. It's funny because now they have... And I'm not sure when this started, but teenagers aren't allowed to be in the store between 3 and 4:30 when school lets out, or like groups of kids aren't allowed there. But I don't remember that being somewhere I even wanted to go. You know, go to the grocery store.
It's hard to be a kid.
At the Jewel or the Mariano's?
Well, the Dominic's and I think the Mariano's, or maybe both of them, don't allow big groups of kids in between three. That's what one of the a lot of my friends' kids go to Lane Tech now.
Because I could understand the Mariano's,
right?
Because you want a soup and a salad
and a glass of wine.
Right?
There you go. Yeah.
And they don't want to card everybody. And you know, some of these 16-year-olds look like they're 26.
No, right? Okay. Yeah, when I was at Lane Tech, we had a hangout joint, right? We had a place called Mickey's, and he made the best cheese sticks. I've been chasing the taste of his cheese sticks my entire life.
Get an air fryer.
Here we go.
Yes.
Here we go.
I bought five.
We are addicted
to the air fryer.
Air fryers. Absolutely.
I bought five already.
How can you? What do you do with five?
I buy for everybody I love.
Okay.
I do.
All right. So
guess what you have?
We have one here.
Yes.
One in Florida. One for Johnny's dad.
We bought one
for my brother.
One for Ronnie Rice,
who loves it.
Because he's always counting his calories and his carbs. And he picked us up at the airport the other night, and he said, "That's the best gift anybody's ever given me." He started regaling us with the tales of everything that he eats in the air fryer. And
now, which one is it?
Actually, I bought different ones, and I think they're all...
Oh, and they're all good?
Yeah.
Yep.
I've been impressed with all of them.
Some of them are quieter than others. We have one in our kitchen that sounds like the Starship Enterprise is about to take off.
And the counter shakes, you know.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's aggressive.
Probably not right, but that's okay. It makes good food.
What's your favorite thing to air fry?
Sweet potato fries.
That would be what I would want it for.
No
oil. Okay.
And you put your sweet potato in there, and 14 minutes later, but you take the basket out and you shake it real good and you put it back in there. And
not even olive oil? Nothing?
You don't have to. No.
Oh.
You don't have to. You can. You can soak the potato.
Those chicken fingers?
Chicken fingers. Chicken tenders.
You know how you get the chicken tenders? You'll microwave them and they're still kind of
limp,
limp when they come out.
Flaccid.
Put it in an air fryer.
Mm-hmm. There it is.
And it is so, it's even more crunchy.
Yeah.
Really?
Absolutely. Less calories, more crunchy.
Yeah.
I'm a happy guy.
Can you air fry pizza?
Oh,
like leftover pizza?
The real good pizzas, the personal pizzas, I put one in the basket.
Because of crispy crust then.
It's so good that
way. Because Esmeralda changed my life in teaching me how to reheat a cold pizza.
See, that's what you need this for, because when you reheat in a microwave, not so
no,
good.
No, right? She doesn't.
No.
You do the oven?
Stovetop.
Stovetop in a skillet.
See, that's the concept behind the air fryer. Mm-hmm. Except with the air fryer, you know, the food is blowing around.
Mm-hmm.
So if you put a sandwich in there, you have to put a piece of silverware on
something to hold it down.
Otherwise, it's the sandwich spinning, kind of like the rotor.
Will it panini it, kind of? Like make it all crispy?
Oh, it'll get nice and crunchy, but it'll stay. Mm. It won't smash it down or anything.
Do you have room for one more gadgets?
You need it because they're so cute. They're so round. Like you hold them and they're just...
It's like a pod? Right? What do you mean it's so round?
Yeah. You hugging it as it's frying?
Look,
your
I'm
things.
Showing you they're
you hug
round
your air fryer.
I love you, air fryer.
And you pull that basket out and it's so easy to clean.
It's going to be great for... Because I love oven roasted like cauliflower and broccoli and things like that. Okay.
Let me just tell you, take your cauliflowerettes, shake them in a Ziploc bag with wing sauce.
Hello,
and
buffalo.
Then put them in there, air fry. You think you're eating wings.
I feel like we should need to do a whole air frying segment with Steve and Johnny.
Yes.
Catch up with what they what'd you fry
I
now?
Mean, who else do you know has purchased five of them?
Right? I don't. Well, because there's a book called Will It Waffle? Like, and you and it's all waffle. And I bought a waffle, but I never a waffle maker, but I don't really use it. I feel like I would use a fryer. I'm going to buy this. I'm going to order my.
You've got to start making other things that, other than waffles in your waffle maker.
Yes, you can do like chicken breasts. You
or
can
pizzas.
Do like veggie. Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
See,
just spray it good.
Did you see? Have you seen this gadget? And I can't, my feed, you know, on your Facebook feed, you get these advertisements for other things. There's one that makes a waffle bowl. So you can put things, so you can put like fruit in it or ice cream. So you make a waffle bowl.
And just eat the whole thing.
Right? And I bet you could do, then you can control like doing like a gluten free bowl. Just, I know. I'm getting really hungry. And weak? It's getting weak. We go different directions. getting a rubber neat over here. Let's take a break here. More with our guests. By the way, Steve and Johnny are going to be in Woodstock at the Woodstock Public Library, which is at 414 West Judd in Woodstock, Illinois, 60098. You put that right in your GPS, you'll wind up there.
Right.
Don't forget to put Mason City Limits for your next stop after that. You've got about a six-hour drive. After maybe
just
four,
6 hours.
About 4 hours, 4 hour drive from there. It's at 1 o'clock. They're celebrating what would have been Les Paul's 103rd birthday. It's a book it's a book signing, a presentation, and afterwards they'll be having a screening of the Les Paul movie Chasing Sound, along with some special birthday surprises.
All free.
Visit. Oh, it's all free. That's something we should put at the front. Let me see. Free. Mine's not free. Sorry, everybody.
So they have money to spend.
Exactly. That works out very well. Go to steveandjohnny.com. Also find them on Facebook, Steve and Johnny Show. And to order their book, A Little More Less, go to alittlemoreless.com. That's less with one S. And you can call 312-912-8639. One more time. That number is 312-912-8639. More conversation when we come back on 720. WGN. This Saturday, you can catch Steve and Johnny. They were the host of the overnight radio show here, of course, for more than 27 years.
Yes.
And so thrilled to have them in studio with us right now. Also joining us in studio is Esmeralda. And we don't know if that's going to be tomorrow night as well. But when we move to the new place, if you want to come hang out in the studio with me, whatever. I feel badly we didn't do this sooner or ever. Or maybe you didn't want to. Maybe you liked.
Well, you know, there's, you know, you get used to it because upstairs.
If you don't space.
I set everything up and right. then, you know.
Well, now that it's all changed.
Right.
You're a little in flux.
Yeah. Change is good.
Change is good. Change is very good. And by the way, for Woodstock, folks going to Woodstock, there's a train that can take you right into downtown Woodstock if they're wondering, you know, what a nice ride to go up there. They've got great restaurants. You can go see all the places where Groundhog's Day was filmed. You mentioned the Haunted Opera House.
That's true.
I don't know if they want to go for that, but or is it the Orson B. Welles? Is it the Orson Welles? Not B. Welles, but Orson Welles. They have something. Orson Welles went to school there like when he was a kid, and I think they have a festival
coming up.
And I believe I'll have an announcement pretty soon about another festival coming up in Woodstock that we're excited about.
You tease.
I know. Mm-hmm. No, I haven't been told to go official with it yet, so stay tuned for
you're
that.
You're a tease?
I'm a tease. Can't go
We've
official
known
with
that since high school.
How much of a tease I am. They will be at the, Steve and Johnny are going to be at the Woodstock Public Library. That's at 414 West Judd in Woodstock, Illinois, of course. And that's starting at 1 o'clock to celebrate what would have been Les Paul's 103rd birthday book signing. There's a presentation. Afterwards, there'll be a screening of the Les Paul movie Chasing Sound. You can go to steveandjohnny.com and follow them on Facebook, Steve and Johnny Show. And order the book A Little More Less, which, by the way, I unpacked into my office yesterday when I was putting all my shelves up, and I've got that.
Oh,
I was
thank
like,
you.
There's my Little More Less on my shelf. You can go to alittlemoreless.com for your copy. That's Less with one S. Or call 312-912-8639. And again, that number is 312-912-8639. We have texts coming in from our listeners who are very excited that you're in the studio, including our friend from the 630. And there, a lot of people are like hearing a little bit of it now, realizing they're going to want to go back and hear the whole podcast. For anybody who's concerned about other shows that haven't been podcast yet, with the transition and when, you know, engineers come in and move equipment and how that works, we will catch up at some point. Never mind. Michael has just whispered into my ear. You can tell us on the air that they're all up right now. Do you want to tell us that they're all up?
Even the ones that we haven't done yet.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
That's how incredible.
Any other future pickle mentions as well are going to be all noted in the future podcast. But everything you need to find is on the Patty V Show page on WGNRadio.com, or you can follow us at Patty V Shy on Facebook and catch up on all the latest podcasts right there.
There you go. So it's all up and running. So mm-hmm. excited about that. So that was our friend Diane. Sorry about that, Diane. And my mom. And my husband. Like these are the three people who, when we were missing a podcast, are like, hey, what happened to Friday? Where's Friday? I looked everywhere for Friday.
Diane sent me a tweet.
I know.
That's how a lot of people reach out to me. So you can tweet me out there if you have any questions about the show, too. Because they need to get What's That From? We had a great show last Friday.
We read movie scenes and destroy classic movies for
wonderful.
Folks.
Cool.
Yeah. We did Hard Day's Night.
Hard Day's Night.
Which tells you
continue to destroy it.
Exactly. I had never seen it, so I had no idea what I was reading.
You had never seen the hell?
Why, I did. My husband played the scene that I was reading from. He's like, you haven't seen. My husband didn't. We've been married for 18 years, and he didn't know that I hadn't seen that.
He married you?
I know.
You hadn't seen Hard Day's Night?
I know. And here's a singer, too. Again, I know you've invited us over, and I have to take you up on that. But Griffin and Steve started playing the bass guitar. He has been working on that.
Cool.
And Griffin is walking around all the time playing guitar.
Hey,
in our
you
house.
Guys could have a band. Two Steves and a Griffin.
Oh, I like I that.
Oh, that's yes. cool. I like that.
And you could have a Griffin gargoyle-y thing
yes.
as a logo.
Patty, will you sing?
I will not sing. You know why? There's actually a song called Patty Don't Sing, which is both a statement of fact and a request.
Well... Yes. I only keep the beat on 1 and 3. It's my own little
Which
thing.
Is why I keep telling her she'd be a great bass player.
I don't know what that means. What,
well,
one
you know,
and
you're
three?
Supposed to tap on 2 and 4. And
no.
I have the... No, I know. I am inclined to go 1 and 3. And he looks at me like, honey.
Also, Johnny doesn't believe this. Mm. But there are so many times we'll be driving along and she'll start singing along with the song. She has perfect harmony. She immediately goes to the harmony part. And she doesn't realize she doesn't.
I love him. His hearing is even blinded by love. Do you believe it? He hears me singing harmony, for God's
sake. Well, I will say, my husband loves me too, and he has never said that to me. He has said that I don't sing badly. He goes, you don't sing as badly as people say you do.
Oh, wow. Oh, there is a... qualifier.
So I would take Steve at his word. He loves you, but I think that he's being honest with you. No. See, as is my husband, you don't sound as badly as people think. So there's that.
When we have you over to dinner, we'll audition you. And
I don't know.
That's all fine.
She'd be a great tambourine player.
Yes, I would love. Yeah. I'm going to need some visual cues as to what if I'm. I'll be like, am I doing this right? Am I doing this right?
Shake your tambourine, lady.
Hey now. That's not my moneymaker. Here from the 630. This is a lovely Patty. I hear you mention your father every show. Do I mention my dad? Maybe I'm a little dad's centric. Sorry, Mom. And I never. I think of my father every day too. My best friend and now gone 17 months. Aw, his favorite ride was the Bob's at Riverview too. Mm. Uncanny. Hi, Melanie. It's always interesting when people talk about someone they've lost, and my father passed away in 2001, and he would have loved this. He would have loved that I was at WGN Radio, hanging out with you guys.
Yeah.
The first time he ever heard me on WGN was with Milt Rosenberg.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure you got this too, because there's the legacy of WGN Radio. You know, there's so many different personalities, but people have their favorites. So one night we were talking about passing gas, and it was with Scott Stantis,
mm-hmm.
who has never been able, and I still can't believe this, he's never passed gas in front of his wife. He's been married to her for 36 years and just cannot do it. So we were talking about passing gas, and of course, having some giggles about it, but somebody was like, I can't believe this is the same station that used to have Milt Rosenberg. And I was like, as a matter of fact, we talked about farting one time when I was hanging out with him. It was 2005. Mm-hmm. He was very funny.
Yes.
He just had to protect his professorial image.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
we have him on tape singing the blues.
Oh, yeah.
Playing
really?
Guitar. See, hey, we went to Chris. Wait. Remember the Christmas party we went to where he got on the table?
He did.
Hello. Oh,
yeah.
Milt on a table.
And it was
he just
a daytime.
Got on the table and he was just looking around to see how the party was going.
It was a daytime Christmas party, too. Yeah.
Get it, Milt.
Yes.
Yep.
I did, you know, I had this segment called the Celebrity Petting Zoo. I have videos of like Mark Valley from Boston Legal, Gilbert Godfrey, John Lovitz actually said no, but that's a different story. But I thought it would be, we should have some in-house celebrities that I, so what the idea was that, you know, celebrities are always bothered for like autographs and things like that. I just want to touch their faces. Just like a little pat on, like petting, right? Because they're already like public property.